Our topic today is, what do you hunger for? A lot of people have ambitions and goals. They're hungry to get that promotion, date that girl, drive that car, live in that home. I talked to an acquaintance, I haven't seen him for a while, in the post office the other day. I asked him when he was going to retire. He said, I'm not ready to retire yet. I have some more toys I want to buy. There's nothing wrong with wanting a good place to live, a nice house, a nice spouse, a few amenities here and there. Those are not the goal of life itself. They're not anything to go around hungering for, anything that you have to have, that you can't live without. They're just amenities. That's all. One day when George MacDonald, the great Scottish preacher and writer, was talking with his son, the conversation turned to heaven. It seems too good to be true, the son said at one point. A smile crossed MacDonald's face. He said, nay, my boy, it's just so good it must be true. God didn't breathe life into us so that we can just live like polished animals. Animals eat, animals sleep, animals mate, animals defend. If the highest vision of your life is to polish up animal life, eat better than the animals, sleep better than the animals, mate better than the animals, fight more viciously than the animals, then it means that you're no better than an animal. In fact, there's a Sanskrit word called dwi pada pasu. Dwi means two, pada means legs, and pasu means animals. For someone who has no higher ambition than the same ambitions the animal, he or she is just a two-legged animal. Of course, don't misunderstand, we need to take care of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, but that's not all there is to life. In the human form of life, we don't have to struggle 24 hours a day over those four issues. We can solve those four issues in a relatively small amount of time, and then the question is, do we spend the balance of time cultivating spiritual life, or do we just polish up those animal propensities? Ultimately, we weren't created in the image of the animals. We were created in the image of God. It is said that man cannot live by bread alone. He must be even more hungry for the nourishment of the Spirit. That's why we chant the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is a name for God who means all attractive. Hare refers to the Shakti, the feminine aspect of the Lord. And Rama means the highest pleasure, absolute. Our message today is that you need to be hungry for some lofty goal. You are made to achieve something great, to make a positive difference in the world. You're not average. You're not ordinary. You were fashioned by the hand of the Almighty. And if you don't stir up that inner self, that divine spark within you, and reach for the stars, you'll not have your full measure of happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, meaning, neither for you nor for your family members. Heard about a bird living in the cage. The owner was so enamored with the cage that she overlooked the bird, spent all of her time polishing the cage, wiping the cage, cleaning the cage. In the meantime, being overlooked, the bird inside the cage was starving to death. Modern society is kind of like that. It's all about the body, it's all about the mind, but nothing for the soul. Although we've got more transportation, more technology, more comforts, more amenities than ever before, perhaps in the history of the world, inside, we've got more depression, more criminality, more drug abuse. The society itself, the soul of the society, is being overlooked and neglected. So while it's a very beautiful body, the entity itself is in a state of decay. Granted, we have to maintain the body, but a spiritually mature person doesn't hanker after the things of the body, does not fantasize about them, not daydream about them, does not get distracted by them. It's like driving down the road. The important thing is to keep your eye on the road and keep moving ahead. The more time that you spend looking to the right, looking to the left, being distracted here, being distracted there, the greater the chances are that you'll miss your exit, that you'll end up in the wrong place. You might even end up in the hospital if you're seriously distracted on the road. When we chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. We're keeping our eye on the road. We're focusing on the purpose of life, which is to move towards our Creator. In the Bhagavad Gita, we're cautioned, na sochati, na kanchati, neither hunger after the things of the world, nor kanchati, lament after the things of the world. Those who are spiritually evolved are willing to sacrifice or invest temporary comforts for eternal benefits. C.S. Lewis said, I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy. And the only possible explanation for that is that I was made for another world. As soon as you drive that new car off the lot, it becomes a used car. Junkyards are full of things that people once had to have, fantasized about, daydreamed about, worked hard, dismissed spiritual imperatives for the fix of purchasing a new toy, chased the illusion of ownership. Now the objects of their desires are out rusting in the middle of the field amongst weeds. Once they were showcased front and center in the mall, now we pass zoning laws to try to keep those junkyards out of our neighborhoods. They're an eyesore, and we hide them away so they don't remind us of how we frittered away our valuable time chasing things that didn't matter. Shortly before my mother's death in 2005 in a nursing home in Pennsylvania, she called me up one day and she was literally wailing. She said, Chris, I spent most of my early life acquiring things, and now in my latter years, everything is being taken away. My brothers and my sisters died. My husband died. My younger son died. My house was sold to pay medical bills. She herself even had a stroke down the left side of her body, and her ability to walk was taken away from her. What's my point? If you conform to what society wants, to what people want, if you're hungering only for the next purchase, the next toy, the trophies on your wall, the pats on the back of society, you're going to miss your destiny. Our encouragement is don't be distracted from what God put in your heart. He put dreams in your heart to lift you up, to energize you, to empower you, to take you to places that you could never imagine. He put in you hungers of a higher order. My wife and I, Vi, we were living in the Los Angeles Hare Krishna Temple in Culver City. We lived in Culver City throughout the 80s, from 1980 to 1990. We were among a community, maybe 100 devotees. Everything was fine there. We had our services. I was the director of life membership. I like to think I did a good, conscientious job. Krishna wants us to move. He wants us to step out of our comfort zone, to exercise our faith on a higher level. We ended up putting a small down payment on a radio station. I think you can probably see the tower out this window. And 5 acres of land in Utah, of all places. People tried to discourage us. Told us we wouldn't make it. Nobody would be interested in Krishna consciousness in Utah. We had no money. There were no devotees. There was no congregation here. They used to have a t-shirt in those days. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you might be in Utah. Now, we could have stayed in Los Angeles till the present day. Certainly there's a lot of preaching there, lots of good to do. But Krishna gave us a hunger to go somewhere out of our comfort zone, away from the predictability and the security of our old situation. He wanted to take us somewhere where housing was not taken for granted, our next meal was not assured, there was no guaranteed income. He wanted to take us somewhere where we could see clearly that the economy is not our provider, Krishna is our provider. Somewhere where we can see more clearly the government is not our protector, Krishna is our protector. Somewhere where we could see society is not our shelter, Krishna or God is our shelter. He wants us even to see that the temple is not our sustainer, He Himself is our sustainer. We made an attempt in coming to Utah to follow the desire of our hearts. It had nothing to do with improving our material situation. In fact, for a few years, our material situation deteriorated. But in due course, according to his promise, Krishna restored all that we had given up and replaced it 10 times over. In Los Angeles, the temple provided us a small 1,000 square foot house and life membership office to live in. Here in Utah, we live with the other devotees in a 6,000 square foot ashram. There is also an equal amount of ashram space at our Salt Lake City campus. In Los Angeles, the Krishna temple was and still is a former Lutheran church on a quarter acre of land. Here in Utah, this 12,000 square foot Rajasthani style temple sits high on a hilltop, visible for miles around on 14 and a half acres of land. You can see it from I-15, all the cars going north to Salt Lake and Yellowstone, and going south to Vegas and Los Angeles. We're nearing the completion of another original from the ground up temple building in Salt Lake City on 4 acres of land, just 30 blocks downtown from the state capitol. When it's completed early next year, there'll be a total of 20,000 square feet of building space up there. And don't get me wrong, Los Angeles Temple is famous for its annual Rath Yatra Festival on Venice Beach, famous for the many saintly devotees in their community, famous for its book distribution, famous for its restaurant and gift store, and especially famous for its deity worship. We aspire to rise to their high standards in these areas in due course. My only point is that after having been part of that community for 10 years, Krishna wants us to start another community. Is there something new that Krishna wants you to do in your life? Something selfless, something God-centered, something uplifting, something lofty, something that will honor him and benefit all other living beings. Do you hunger after pleasing God more than after pleasing people? Do you hunger after putting a smile on the face of the Lord more than putting a smile on people's faces? Perhaps you could do that by opening a vegetarian restaurant or food trailer, organizing festivals, founding a new temple, managing an existing temple better, publishing a best-selling book, distributing books, starting a morning program, worshiping the Lord with your family, tending to an organic garden of flowers or vegetables. The Salt Lake City temple construction was recently stalled for 3 months because we couldn't find anyone to do the sprinklers, the fire suppression system. Our general contractor, Mike, says he's never seen anything like the current building explosion in his lifetime. For 90 days, we couldn't even get a sprinkler guy to come and quote on our building. They had so many jobs going on. The contractors and workers are making so much money, they can hardly be bothered by a little tiny $1.5 million temple project. Finally, we got one last week, and he quoted what he said was a good price of $25,000. He mentioned that in order to minimize his time on the project and maximize profits, he would use plastic piping up inside the main dome to run the water to the sprinklers. So we're desperate to get the construction back on track, and we're about to give him the green light. Comes along Chad. Chad's been coming to the Salt Lake Temple. He's a vegan, comes to the ecstatic dances on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. He appears, steps forward, says he's licensed to do the job, would not charge for his labor, and could get the materials either free or at cost. What happened there? In an atmosphere driven by short-term profits and greed, one person stepped forward motivated by a hunger to enrich his spirit over his body. In a time when workers are making up to $85 an hour, Chad is willing to donate his skills for no short-term material gain other than pleasing the Almighty Lord. This is very interesting. He told us that plastic piping does not react well in the presence of other materials. After a few years of having plastic piping in that dome, in the proximity of foam insulation, rebar, and aluminum ribbing, the piping, he said, will crack, burst, leak into the main dome. It'll be almost impossible to get in and fix the leaks. The restoration would cost $250,000. He said, you need to use steel pipes, and I will get them donated to the temple. Here Prabhupada says, a fish out of water cannot live on the land, neither can a creature of land live in the water. A fish out of his element on the land, or a human out of his element in the water, will be unhappy. Each one of them has too much of the wrong thing. The fish has too much of land, which only makes it sluggish and miserable. The human in the middle of the ocean has too much of water, which bogs him down. To save themselves, both need to divest, to abandon that which is keeping them from their destinies. As a fish hungers to return to water, as human beings yearn to return to land, so the spirit hankers to go back to the spiritual world. Most common benedictory prayer in Sanskrit is Asato Mad Sadgamaya. May you go from that which is temporal to that which is eternal, because you are eternal. Tamasho Mad Jyotirgamaya. May you go from the dark world, which is artificially illuminated by the sun and the moon, to the self-effulgent, eternal, spiritual world. Mritam Madam Mritam Gamaya. May you go from the world of death to the world of immortality. That would be the highest blessing that I could send in your direction. No amount of material advancement will ever make a spiritual being happy. No amount of material advancement will ever get you to where you ultimately need to go. That is why it is famously said, what profits a man who gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? And here's another sub-truth. You can't hunger after matter and spirit at the same time. Can't have them both. They're mutually contradictory. You either have to have the one or the other. If you try for both, something's got to give. To obtain the comforts of this material world, you have to weigh cost against income, labor against materials, profit against loss. This one contractor who bid $25,000 was willing to do the temple sprinklers, but because he also wanted to enrich himself, he would have done it in such a way that it would have been a disaster. It is actually better that he would have never done it at all in the first place. And yet there are no such considerations for one who hungers after pleasing the Lord. Satisfaction of the Lord is the only aim or goal that he has. Bhagavad Gita, yad karosi, yad ishnasi, yad jahosi, yatava. Whatever you give, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you sacrifice, do it as an offering to me, Krishna says. If that's your priority, the labor will be done meticulously. The materials will always be first class. And such devotional service is not something you do to get something else. It's not a means to another end. It is both the means and the end. You do it with a spirit of excellence. Your reward is to get more of the same in this life and get promoted back to the spiritual world in the next life. Krishna wants to see how you handle the things of this world, and if you're faithful in this world, then you get promoted to the next world where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. It's called watering the root of the tree. For that contractor we're talking about, building the temple was simply a means to an end of enriching himself. He put himself first place and God second place. That's like watering a single leaf of a big tree and hoping that the tree will prosper. It will not. If you seek to please only yourself and your immediate family, everything about you will rot and decay. Devotees put God first place. Devotees seek in serving the Lord to water the root of the tree. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The correct calculation is that if the root is watered, then the leaves, flowers, and fruits will automatically be nourished. And similarly, if I hunger first and foremost after pleasing the Lord, because everything comes from Him and everything is contained with Him, I not only do the best service to myself, but to all living beings simultaneously. By doing the one major thing, all minor things are accomplished. That is spiritual intelligence. That is Krishna consciousness. Someone says, Charu, who do you think you are? It's a big world out there. It's messed up in some very big ways. It's been that way for a long time, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. We're going down the river without a paddle. How are you going to make a change? What have you been smoking lately? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the all-powerful Lord, and I haven't been smoking anything. I have been reading the Bhagavad Gita, the infallible word of God, which says that if you're in the river of material, selfish sense enjoyment, doesn't matter whether you have a big paddle or no paddle, the current's too strong, it's too swift. Unless you get out of the current of self-interest, you're headed for disaster. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is your life raft. It's your line to dry land. Your line to shore, to safety. If you don't connect with God through His holy names and His divine service, you're going to be swept away from everything that is ultimately good, righteous, uplifting, beneficial, and fulfilling. I know that I don't have the power to make changes, but He does. What's impossible for man is possible for God. He created universes just by breathing. One breath out, millions of universes created. One breath in, millions and millions of universes unmanifested. There really isn't any question of His bringing us all to safety, gathering us back home, back to Godhead. Really, the only question is, do we hunger after it enough? Or are we too enamored by this material energy that we lost our will for self-realization? We're too attached to matter that we lost sight of spirit. Did we get too dulled by loud TV? Are we too busy with the earbuds from our phones that we don't hear the call of the Lord anymore? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you're going to see what others don't see, if you're going to go where others aren't going to go, you have to be willing to do what others are not willing to do. You have to be willing to hunger for freedom. I heard about a beautiful swan that one day alighted on the banks of a river in which a crane was wading about seeking snails. For a few moments, the crane viewed the swan in stupid wonder and then inquired, "Where do you come from?" "I come from heaven," the swan replied. "And where is heaven?" said the crane. "Heaven," said the swan. "Have you never heard of heaven?" The beautiful bird went on to describe the grandeur of what we call Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. She's told that everything there is made of chintamani, touchstone. The trees are called wish-fulfilling desire trees, under whose roots are all valuable jewels. There are cows there called Sarabi that can give limitless quantities, not only of milk, but anything else one might desire for serving the Lord. The waters there are pure as crystal and have the power to quench the thirst of the soul and to heal the suffering of nations. In eloquent terms, the swan sought to describe the hosts who live in the other world, but without arousing the slightest interest on the part of the crane. Finally, the crane asked, "Are there any snails there?" "Snails?" the swan said, "Of course not." "Then," said the crane, as it continued its search along the slimy banks of the river, "you can have your heaven. I hunger after snails." What do we learn? If you want to go where the swan goes, live where the swan lives, eat what the swan eats, then you have to give up the association of cranes. All the crane hungers for is the flesh and blood taste of snails. We had a blue crane frequent our lake last summer. He would stand perfectly still and almost invisible. If you didn't look really carefully, you would totally miss him in the background. His hunger was just waiting for the fish to come within range, and then he would stab them with his razor-sharp beak. Slaughter them, in fact. One morning, we found no less than four beautiful 12-inch multicolored koi ripped up floating dead on the surface of the lake. Similarly, crane-like men go along to get along, blend in, conform to society, don't distinguish themselves, don't rise up. They think their anonymity will protect them. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's killing animals. Everybody's slaughtering. Everybody's eating the flesh of innocent creatures. Everybody goes to McDonald's. But today I'm here to point the finger. You're not anonymous. You're a child of the Most High God. He knows every detail of your life. He may not approve of everything that you do, but he loves you. He wants you. He did not create you to be a crane. He created you to be a swan. Driving from here to Spanish Fork, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, there's some marshlands and another big lake just a quarter of a mile away. There's a single swan that lives in that lake. It's a large lake with a lot of surface area. However, wherever that swan is in the lake, one's eyes are immediately drawn to the swan. The swan is different, not run-of-the-mill, not average, not ordinary. The swan stands out amongst the other birds. Crane-like men live for dead things, gossip, complaining, politics, news stories. On the other hand, the swan eats the buds of lotus flowers. The swan-like men relish hearing and chanting the deathless glories of the Lord after the ways of the great saints and sages. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is called Padam Drishva Nirvartate, a higher taste. How badly do you hunger for the swan life as we've described it? Badly enough to put your job on the altar, to get to work on time, have a good attitude. Badly enough to get yourself and your family to the temple every Saturday or Sunday. Saturday if it's Salt Lake City, Sunday it's here. We get the kids up every morning, weekdays, sometimes as early as 7 a.m. for the schooling, and we consider their schooling is incredibly important to them. But I could also argue that their spiritual education is more important than school. What kind of an example as parents is it for us to get them up and ready for school 5 days a week and then miss out on Sunday because you don't hunger for it enough? If you don't take your place at the table, if you don't step up for your own spiritual nourishment, how will your children be expected to do the same for their kids? If we don't take the time to cultivate and satisfy our hunger for serving God, how do we expect that our kids will do the same for their kids? If not for our own sake, but the sake of our loved ones, don't settle for the status quo. Don't allow yourself to fall into the river of sense gratification and get swept away. Be more than the animals whose lives are wholly occupied by eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Rise up. Chant the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every morning on your beads, call out the seeds of greatness from within. Get a higher taste. Learn to cry for the Lord, to hunger after the healing waters of His love, His wisdom, His compassion, His benevolence. If you make the choice with me today to seek spirit over matter, life over darkness, wisdom over ignorance, love over apathy, you'll be nourished, strong, powerful, confident. You will become the parent, the teacher, the leader who Krishna or God created you to be. By His grace, you will make a difference in the lives of others and change the course of history. You will step into a whole new level of your destiny in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.